Blog Talk Radio.
Fix the family, fix America. My name is Jack Hatfield, your host for the next 1 hour of some of the greatest, most fantastical commentary on family in America and today's world about disease and the diet and all kind of stuff. Thank you for joining us here again at our special time. Again, I was a couple minutes late. I hope you did not go away. And the reason I hope you did not go away is because this is fast becoming the most listened to, most popular, most incredible talk show program about the family in the universe. If you've never been here and you're just joining us, remember Fix the Family is a four-part plus one series where we help you become a positive father. We help you make a difference mother. We help you pull through as parents, and finally we reveal your success. And then the offshoot of that is stopping degenerative diseases and other problems affecting your family with disease and the diet. Disease and the diet. You can get more information at diseaseandthediet.com or fixthefamilyfixamerica.org. We are coming to a place near you. We're doing disease and the diet workshops across the country. The next one I believe is at the end of this month, the 30th, Wednesday, June 30th, at Earth Fair in Columbia, South Carolina. I believe that's the next. There may be another one added. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. And then there are, of course, ways to get the information if you can't attend the workshops, and that's by going to diseaseandthediet.com. Subscribing to our series where you'll get videos and the workbooks and all kinds of stuff on a regular basis from us. Very, very much worth the price. We do hope you join us there and subscribe with us and start learning how to stop, possibly cure and heal degenerative diseases across your family's spectrum. Wow, okay. Now, I've got a big announcement to make today. We are wanting you to go to naturalsuccessprinciples.com, www.naturalsuccessprinciples.com/launch, not lunch, launch, L-A-U-N-C-H. Go there, check it out, see me in a short video, and then you also get a chance to purchase Natural Success Principles, the book that will change your life as told to me by the smallest of teachers. Proceeds of this purchase will go to help premature children and cancer fighters right now. So it is really, really nice if you could go there right now, www.naturalsuccessprinciples.com/launch, L-A-U-N-C-H. And click on buy the book, and then click on get your gifts. There are plenty of gifts there to be gotten from people that are assisting premature babies and cancer fighters by pushing this book and helping make it a top seller today and all this month. Please tell all your friends, all your family, go today, purchase the book, and we shall get it started. All right, let's go ahead and get this thing going. What do y'all think? I think it's a good time to start.
Hey,
Now, again, please, today, go tweet, social network, Facebook, MySpace, whatever you're on, whatever you're doing today, email, grab everybody in your email list and say, please go purchase this book today at naturalsuccessprinciples.com/launch. LAUNCH. We will greatly appreciate it. And knowing that your purchase will assist people fighting cancer and assist every minute there's a new premature baby on this planet. So every minute I have a new family that I need to be helping. So it's going to take an awful lot of books to make that happen. So please go there today, naturalsuccessprinciples.com/launch. Check out all the stuff. Buy the book. Come back. Get your gifts. And have a good time. I've got something that took, I had to say to myself about 15 times to grasp what I just said. Who can't talk? Let me get some of my libation. Libation today is acai, blueberry, and grape. It's another purple concoction. This is after having two so slightly cooked organic eggs in organic butter. They're almost raw eggs. And wait a minute, I think that's all I had. No, wait, I had meal. I had some milk. I had some protein powered unhomogenized, only pasteurized milk. Can't be raw milk in this state due to the wonderful powers that be. We'll go into those later because I'm sure they're listening and probably going to knock on the door soon here in the studio. Because the things that we tell you here about disease in the diet and other matters are becoming quickly on the radar of the powers that be. Now, you can get a small hint of the powers that be by me telling you our first story today. Our first story today. This needs something to set up. I don't know what to do here. This is a horrible headline. Okay. That way we can have a little volume down. Dude, let's cut the volume down. Let's get it a little low. Because we need some jazzy music right behind this that I'm about to sing. We can all relax. Here it is. I'm going to say it. And then we're going to think about it for a second. And then I'll say it again. And then we'll think about it for a second. And I'm going to say it. Ready? DuPont wins USDA approval for a new soybean. Okay, if you're libation like I am, sit back and relax. We're all in a jazz club. We're not, world's not ending. It's not a problem. All right, I'm going to say it again. DuPont wins USDA approval for new soybean. Doesn't that make you feel warm and fuzzy? That just make you felt like you put on the most sweater in the world and you are choked by fire. Oh, okay. I can't relax too much here when I say this. I'm going to say it one more time. DuPont wins USDA approval for new soybean. Now, did a man named DuPont walk through the wilderness and suddenly found a plant that we've never discovered? Was he in the Amazon rainforest just you know, looking for cures for cancer and Alzheimer's and all that other stuff. And then suddenly he goes, oh, what is that? Oh, my. By Jove, it's a new soybean. I have no idea if DuPont is English or whatever nationality that particular inflection was. But I doubt that a man named DuPont suddenly was going through rainforest and said, by Jove, I see a new soybean. No, let me tell you what happened. U.S. Department of Agriculture has approved the biotechnological product of DuPont's new Plenish high oleic soybeans. DuPont, a large company based in Wilmington, said the soybeans contain the highest oleic acid content of any soybean product under commercial development. This will increase the stability of oil from the soybeans, providing greater flexibility for food applications. The oil's high stability could lead to its use in industrial applications as an alternative to petroleum-based lubricants, foams, and adhesives. What? Wait a minute. I just said that the soybeans will increase the stability of the oil, providing greater flexibility for food applications. And then I just said the oil's high stability could lead to its use in industrial applications as an alternative to petroleum-based lubricants, foams, and adhesives. Food or industrial applications as an alternative to oil. Like oil, the stuff in the Gulf, oil. Or we can put it in food. Let's see. Hang on. We can take this brand new soybean, and of course, let me discuss the soybean oil manufacturing process for 2 seconds. Gentlemen, this is why you come here, for the deep, massive knowledge that we provide. You take hexane. What is hexane? Oh, my. First, you take hexane and soybeans, and you mix them together, and you make this little stew. Wonderful-looking stew, I'm sure. Well, hexane is kills your brain cells immediately when you're sniffing glue. Hexane is what makes gas flammable. There was another thing hexane did. I had another, so that we all was. Hexane was a byproduct. Whoa, hang on. Let me. I got to find this out because it's on the tip of my tongue. Got to find this out. I think I was reading it. I might have been reading it. Doop, 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 bop, 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 bop. Now, understand this. If hexane can extract oil and grease from water or other solvents, meaning if you wanted to clean the Gulf out, you could simply add hexane to the water and you could separate them. Why wouldn't we do that then? Oh, yeah, hexane will kill you. It'll kill everything around you. So that's not good. Because extensive peripheral nervous system failure would occur. What that means is the same way pesticides kill bugs, it would kill everything in the ocean. But wait. We can use it to extract the oil from the beans, such as soybeans, right? Right. Okay. All right. Hexane can also clean your touchscreen. Oh, they stopped using it because people died when they touched their touchscreen so much and then licked their fingers. So, enough about hexane, but let's discuss it a little further here on how the oil is made again. So you take the hexane, you take the soybeans, and you put them in a stew, and the hexane basically breaks down the fat and the protein and the carb, and then you have to spin it and squeeze it and crush it and spin it and squeeze it and crush it until the fat is on one side in one container and the protein is sitting in a goo-like state in another container and the carb, very low carb, is sitting in another state in another container. Then you have, we're only focusing on oil. I'm not even going to go into what happens to that protein goo sitting in that other container right now. This is just because of this headline, DuPont wins USDA approval for new soybean. So anyway, that soybean oil is now sitting in this container. Well, guess what? That soybean oil is rancid. And it smells really bad, and it's very dirty. So before they put it in a pretty glass bottle for your consumption, they have to clean it. So they add soap. And I'm not saying take the oil and rub it on a washboard like the olden days. No, I mean just add soap, stir it around. Well, what that does is the alkalinity in the soap mixes and bonds with the stuff that's making it cloudy and dirty. And so they wash that out again. They rinse it through some water cycles or whatever they do, another machine process. All this can be seen. They tell you this on most soybean oil manufacturing websites. Or you can go to diseaseandthediet.com and click on subscribe, and your very first book will be How Oils Are Made and Why the Hell Are You Eating Them? Back to what I was saying. After the oil has been washed with the soap, remember, we've already used hexane to break that out. Now, hexane will kill you, no big deal, don't worry about that. Then we wash the oil, so we clean it out, but then what comes out is still another rancid, dead product. So what we do is we add deodorizers and clarifiers to make it pretty right before it goes in that gorgeous glass bottle so that it can sit on that shelf and say, "Hey, buy me, I'm awesome." But before it even gets to that glass bottle, you know how many billions and billions of hundreds of gillions of pounds are sent to food manufacturers because they said, "You know what? I need some oil. I need you to send over that soybean oil in, it doesn't matter. Just send me 5 tankers of soybean oil because one of the tankers I'm going to use to oil my machines that put the oil into the dressing that I'm going to serve to put in this bottle of salad dressing." Let me say that again. Send me 5 tankers of this soybean oil so that one of the tankers I use to oil the machines that put the soybean oil into the salad dressing, mix it up, and then put it in a bottle for your consumption. Remember, in this article, the soybeans contain the highest oleic acid content, increases the stability of oil from the soybeans, providing greater flexibility for food applications, or its high stability could lead to its use in industrial applications as an alternative to petroleum-based lubricants, foams, and adhesives. I'm spending a few more minutes on this because you have to understand something. Go in the supermarket today and find me a product that is lacking in soy. Now, the Japanese knew soy was the anti-nutrient. When soy gets in your body, it actually sucks all the nutrients out of your body. When they fed soy feed to cattle, the cattle died too fast and got cancer too fast before it could even get to market. Soy increases estrogen, and so all the ladies who've been said, you need to eat soy so you don't get breast cancer, is doing the exact opposite. All the ladies with fibromyalgia saying, don't eat beef and all that other stuff. You got problems. Excuse me, not fibromyalgia, endometriosis. I was doing some fibromyalgia study earlier today, so it goes together. Endometriosis saying, don't eat the meat. It will upset the balance in your intestines, and that is wrong. So they tell you to eat soy, and soy, it will be doing the exact opposite. It will increase the estrogen, which in turn increases the cells from your uterus. I'm trying to be as clean as I possibly can, which are spreading into your other areas of your body. So why would people tell you to eat something that they know willingly and knowingly are aware that it is bad? Oh, I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with that purposeful mass genocide that I was talking about last night. Because the USDA approved this DuPont new soybean, people were so happy and their shares rose 75 cents. Now, let me go into a little bit more on this because this is sad. I need you to understand this. And if you would like to weigh in on this, please do right now. 347-677-0692. I'd greatly appreciate you calling in and giving me your wonderful salad dressing recipe. No, I'm kidding. Call in and talk to me about anything that you'd like to talk about. Right now we're talking about DuPont. Just got its genetically modified soybean that was engineered to contain a healthier oil. Okay, so DuPont and Monsanto are now two companies that are playing to try to be the best oil you can be. Monsanto has two varieties of biotech soybeans pending approval with the USDA that will modify the nutritional value of the soybean oil, eliminating trans fats, and produce oil with omega-3 fatty acids in it for use in yogurt and granola bars and spreads. What? Okay. So, not good at all. Here's something that you need to know. 90% of the U.S. soybean crop and a lot of corn is already genetically engineered. One of the other reasons they're genetically engineering soybeans, listen to this. One of the other reasons they're genetically modifying the soybeans is so they contain splices of a bacterial gene to grant herbicide or pest resistance to the soybean. Now, when they're able to finally genetically modify the soybean to where it doesn't need to be sprayed with pesticides and other chemicals, guess what they can call the soybean? Organic. I didn't spray any pesticides. I used natural fertilizer. Guess this is organic soy. Even though I modified it from its original state, now it's frankensoy. I envision little beans with the knots on their neck. In your salad dressing, too. I mean, hopefully, if you listen to this show during lunch, which is a great time, by the way. And you're eating a salad right now? Pick up the dressing real quick. Turn it over. And tell me if soybean oil is a ingredient. I would have to say yes. Take a break. Read it. Check it out. Dressings that we have. One of them I've had since April of 09, and the other one I've had since, well, it's best by May 2010, so it's got another month for me to eat it. Now, by the way, again, remember when I told you the oil was rancid and already bad when it was added to this stuff? Oh, yeah, and the machines that put it in here are oiled and greased by the same stuff they put in the bottle. That is so much fun. Anyway, one of them is honey mustard. Honey mustard, you would think. Just some mustard, some honey. Mustard doesn't have oil in it. It just has vinegar, mustard seeds, and some other spices. So, and then you add some honey to that, right? Honey mustard, nothing to it. Well, let's look at the ingredients of this wonderful product, honey mustard. Ingredients, number one, vegetable oil, parentheses, soybean and or canola. Now, before we go in, before we have a show about oil today, which we're not going to do because I'm going to stop talking about this in 5 minutes, canola comes from the rapeseed plant, which if you eat it, you will be poisoned. But they found a way to genetically modify the rapeseed plant and call it now the canola plant so that they can extract this oil the same way they extract it from soybeans, hexane, mechanical, chemical processes, and then sell it to you in pretty, pretty bottles. So if they couldn't get it soybean that day, they call up the canola company and say, hey, send me that stuff you got over there too. Then it goes into distilled vinegar, high fructose corn syrup, water, and then finally Dijon mustard, which Dijon mustard is simply vinegar, water, mustard seed, salt, white wine, citric acid, tartaric acid, and spices. Then finally honey, syrup, egg yolk, sugar, and then 2% less of salt, spices, flavor, gum, paprika, calcium disodium ether, and yellow, number 5. So that means they use mustard seed that did not turn the product yellow enough. That is one product. Okay, let's go into this. Horseradish sauce. Wow. You know, we made an organic horseradish sauce for my mother the other day. What I did was I took a horseradish root, organic horseradish root, ground it up into the grinder, and then poured Bragg's Old Culture apple cider vinegar right on top, and it was fantastic. We used it for a prime rib rub ourselves, not for my mother. But use it for a primer rub, and it was fantastic. Now, I didn't add any of these other ingredients in my horseradish sauce, so let's look and see what I missed. Water. I should add water. That would have made it a little more watery. And then I should add a second ingredient right here, soybean oil. Soybean oil right here in the horseradish sauce, then vinegar, then sugar, then some eggs, basically turning it into some mayonnaise, and then food starch, and then some spices and stuff. So soybean oil can permeate itself in two things that have nothing to do with anything. I was just looking at my protein where they added soy lecithin, which is one of those other containers after spinning the soy out of the hexane goo. Soy lecithin is a thickener. So there we go. How about that? Is that fun? Was that fun? I think it was fun. Super fun! Head trip! Ah, music soothes the savage beast, along with my libation, which, because it's before noon, is acai blueberry and grape concord, a purple mixture of love. Okay, let's do something a little more fun to talk about than Earl. Let's talk about... today is special. Go to naturalsuccessprinciples.com/launch. Purchase the book and help premature children and cancer fighters right now today. That's very important. Second, after you do that and you're ready to start your own business and you're ready to be the brand that you want to be to the rest of the world, and there's one place you need to go, and that's Soho Office at the Village of Sand Hill in Columbia. Their website is sandhill.sohooffice.com. Jay, Dan, and Kelly, three of the most fabulous people you will ever want to meet, can transform and change your business world. You can have a office suite there if you like. You basically have a suite for your P.O. box. Then you have a meeting area complete with internet access and phones on a Cisco phone system. And you have access to some of the greatest printing techniques and technological breakthroughs right inside their store. Then you have the brains of Jay, Dan, and Kelly that sit there and go, no, your logo is terrible. We'll do this one. And they're not saying they would tell you that it was terrible, but when they make one up that looks a lot better than yours, you'll go, wow, I'm telling you. Soho Office, sandhill.sohooffice.com, our official nationwide print partner of Fix the Family, Fix America, and Disease in the Diet. I cannot state enough how incredible these people are. If you have any needs for business products, business logos, business cards, letterhead, business envelopes, business, business, if you have any need for that stuff, that's where you need to go. Go to sandhill.sohooffice.com right now. Grab their phone number. Send them an email. Send them your logo. Send them something in the email. Say, I need this on something shiny or print it on a folder, or I need these business cards, or I need this, I need that, and those guys will help you, and you tell them, Jack sent you from Fix the Family, Fix America, and you could special business discount for their Supreme Business Package, which is letters, envelopes, and letterhead, and business cards. Make sure you tell them, Jack sent you. Get down there today, sandhill.sohooffice.com. Tell them Jack sent you. Okay. Let's do something. Oh, wow. Let's do something a little fun. Can we do that? Now, Fix the Family, Fix America. Guys, before you can fix your family, you have to go and make one. So we sometimes help single guys and single girls find their partner. Well, here's five mistakes guys make early on that scare women away. And this is by a lady named Samantha. So it is from a woman's point of view. It's very important. Now, she says there's this guy I know who is confident, sexy, and go all night in the bedroom. Excuse me, that's amazing. But when it comes to actually dating women, he never manages to get past the first month barrier. Instead of forming solid relationships, he continually gets dumped on at the same point in every courtship. When she polled women he's recently dated to discover what the heck the dude was doing wrong, she discovered the five pertinent mistakes that he and so many men in his position continually make. So in helping you guys to actually have a shot at dating that the new girl you fancy for more than a nanosecond, here are the top five mistakes Samantha says you make early on that scare women away. Number one, being too easy to please. Now, women love compliments. They adore being told they're hot, irresistible, and sexy, but throw out too many niceties too early on, laugh at all of our jokes, and always want to do what we want to do. We begin to think you're being insincere. We'll also think you're trying to achieve one thing, to get sex. Number two, being too focused on sex. So those kind of go together. So now you're just a shell of a man trying to just be a yes guy to try to get to the too much sex, but then you rush or push people into a sex guilt trip instead of just going out and having a good time with women. If the girl is serious about you and she wants you for a proper boyfriend, not a casual sex buddy. Number three, being possessive too soon. I'd like to extend that. Being possessive too soon and too often. You're sitting at home playing PlayStation while your hot new girlfriend is still out drinking with a bunch of her male colleagues. It's getting late, and since you hadn't heard of her for a couple hours, you try to get a hold of her, but you can't. Then you start obsessively calling, texting, stalking your Facebook page. Unfortunately, she thinks it's not kind of cute. She thinks it's creepy. So when you're growing green and envy and you start doing crazy antics, the woman's going, if you're this crazy now, how crazy you're going to be for the rest of my life. Number four, you are a cheap SOB. Modern women like to believe we can pay our own bills and afford our own expensive dinners, and we judge how a man likes us by how often he pulls out our wallet. Sorry, gents, no splitting the bill just yet. Biologically, women are drawn to men who can protect us and provide for us. Now, while some women are happy to pay every third or fourth date, making us pay up too early sends signals to our brains that you're not the sort of man we can have a future with. So, get off the wallet, is what she's saying. Number five, talking about exes. I believe this is not really one of the top five mistakes. I believe this was just something she liked to add, because if you keep talking about how toxic your old relationship was in an effort to try to improve your current relationship, you're not helping anything. The person who lives in the past and doesn't live in the future is never, ever going to have a present. That was an incredible statement. I need to write that down. And then finally, don't scare her away. Recognize your mistakes, eliminate them from your dating game early on, and watch your dating life go from zero to hero. Now, of course, this is not going to pertain to men out hunting for the one-night stand. This is a family show, and this is for men that are trying to find that perfect someone and make that family so that they can fix it, and then we fix America. It's very simple. Now, for those of you who listen to the show right before lunch, you know now that you're not going to go out and order the salad with soybean oil on top of it, but there's also somewhere else you shouldn't go, because in Chicago, a Subway restaurant salmonella outbreak got 60 people sick. Ranging from 3 years old to 88 years old, with 17 people hospitalized. They're not sure what caused the outbreak, but the stores did destroy the lettuce, peppers, onions, and tomatoes as a precaution. Just another piece of help right here from your friendly Fix the Family, Fix America radio show. Now, people that push the non-smoking ban like to tout statistics afterwards. So they did a study in England since the country introduced the smoking ban. And they found that there were 1,200 fewer heart attack emissions in the year after it was imposed. The percentage of drop in heart attacks since smoking went away equals up to a rousing 2.4%. Now understand, this smoking ban was simply smoking in public places and work environments. It doesn't stop smoking. It didn't make people stop smoking. It didn't do anything such as that. So what they're trying to find and place together is simply because there's less heart attacks this year, it has to be because of the smoking ban. When there was absolutely no connection between the two, because you're not taking into incidence of people learning stuff from this show, learning stuff from disease in the diet, learning stuff from other doctors that are coming out and finally putting the lid off of the FDA, the USDA, and all the other American Medical Association and all those others, and finally taking it into themselves, because we have a lot of English people that are listening to this show right now. We have a lot of English people that subscribe to our magazines and listen to our videos and come to our work groups, and they're living healthier, better lives. Now, we do not advocate smoking, of course, but we also can't allow people to simply make erroneous claims in the health world when they have absolutely no connection between the two. So, again, this study where the headline was smoking ban means fewer heart attacks, if you read deep into the lines, which we always do here at Fix the Family, Fix America, it was examine the possible effects of the ban on health in England after the smoking ban. So again, not really something to read. Now here's something else. If the rate of lung cancer in men have went down over three decades, why does the rate of lung cancer in women go up? Lung cancer being the leading cancer killer of both women and men, it still kills more men than women because more men get it. But women have breast cancer, but they're also getting more lung cancer as men are getting less lung cancer. For instance, women who have never smoked are far more likely than men who have never smoked to get lung cancer. So they're finding out in one of these researches that the hormone estrogen is a possible culprit. Certain forms of estrogen are known to help create genetic mutations in cells and contribute to tumor formation in the breast. Recently, these same researchers found out that the lung cells in both women and men also make estrogen, raising the possibility that the hormone contributes to lung cancer development. So these people at the Fox Chase Cancer Center in Philadelphia, they set out to examine what would happen to the lung cells of female animals that were exposed to tobacco smoke. They wanted to identify early genetic changes in the cells before tumors formed that could be targeted in the future. They reinforce the role that estrogen is clearly a player that we need to look at more closely. Now, let's tie that together with what I just said. Who eats the majority of salads in this country or on this planet or in this universe? It's actually the flea blocks of the planet Yorgun. You're correct. I know that. But let's take the universe back a little bit, and let's just look at our galaxy. I believe women eat the majority of salads, and they pour salad dressing on those salads. They also eat other stuff that contain what? What were we talking about earlier? Oh, yeah, the headline. Let's go back. Let me flip back through my notes. DuPont wins USDA approval for new soybean. I have to keep saying that headline. Yes, soybeans, which raise estrogen, which actually soy formula, infant soy formula, which I didn't bring up earlier, actually is the equivalent of giving your child hormone therapy tablets, like 10 of them, I believe. I forgot the true number, but it's like giving your child hormone therapy. So if the hormone estrogen is a possible culprit in lung cancer rates in women going up, maybe we should look at what in the world is causing estrogen to become prevalent in our society. And the one thing that causes estrogen uptick is becoming prevalent in almost everything we eat. And that would be soybeans and soy blah. It doesn't matter. Soy blah. Except for soy sauce. Wow, that's weird. Japanese, when they discovered that the soybean was the anti-nutrient, they found the only one way to destroy that enzyme inhibitor in the soybean was to ferment it. So there's two ways to eat a soybean, and that's the way Japanese do it. Soy sauce and miso. Otherwise, they don't touch it. That whole rumor that, look, Japanese are healthy and they eat soybeans all the time is totally not true. In fact, let me pull out the facts here if I've got time. Let me see my time. Where are we? Got 11 minutes. We're doing great. I did not know we were doing a soy show, but I could not, could not get away with DuPont wins USDA approval for new soybean. All right, so what they're saying, the typical American diet, Japanese suffer from high rates of esophagus, stomach, pancreas, liver, and thyroid cancers, so soy offers no protection there. The myth that Asians eat a soy-based diet, the actual study showed the soy intake to be 2 teaspoons a day in China. Another study indicates the intake is less than 1 serving, a fourth of a cup of soy, every day or two in Japan. They are not gobbling up the soy milk and tofu, as we are led to believe, but we are. Americans are drinking soy milk, eating soybean dressing, eating soy products, eating soybeans fried up, edamame. We have heard plenty in the press the value of soy products, soy isoflavones, everything, and the value of these phytoestrogens are not what they say they are. It is a carcinogen because soy isoflavones introduce chromosomal changes in cells when they're in vitro in a test tube with potentiating chemical carcinogens. There was so much demand for soy oil that the leftover soy protein, remember that other canister with the soy goo sitting in it, had to find a market. Well, guess who didn't eat it very well? Remember I told you they tried to feed it to cattle and the cattle died? So now they just said, let's put it out there and feed it to the humans, slowly. So when you see all these protein bars that go high in protein, good protein, and you read on the back, soy protein was added. That company trying to sell you that bar is part of the problem. The only way to win this is with our pocketbook. Turn it over, soy products in it, throw it down, grab something else. I am on a mission to destroy the soy industry. That statement I just made put me with a crosshairs on my back. So let me rephrase. I am on a mission to destroy the food side of the soy industry. They can keep making soy oil to lubricate my machines all day long. That doesn't bother me a bit. But if you're going to feed it to me in anything, I don't want it. Now, parents, so ladies, you're getting lung cancer more and more because they're looking at estrogen being a problem. Look at your diet, and let's fix that. Go to diseaseandthediet.com and sign up today to get all of this information in bit-by-bit form all week long instead of having to wait for me to tell you this stuff at 11 o'clock on Wednesday in the highest growing family show in the world. Now, remember, the Fleamonts on the planet Pueblo eat more salads, but they cannot hear my voice. So we're working on this big beam so that I can get out there and tell them to stop doing that, because the soybean oil that we shoot out in space gets a lot of different things wrong with it when it hits the no gravity area. See, this makes people that just sort of listen to this show go, I have no idea what he's talking about right now. You need to listen every week, Wednesday, 11 to 12. Very important. So, ladies, this may be a funny little article, and then I'm going to talk about, let's do this real quick. Your children, you have boys, parents, listen to me. The latest trend in school violence is hitting boys where it hurts, and that is between the legs. A growing phenomenon of a game called sack tapping. Its sole purpose is to strike your buddy in the sack, the testicles. One victim, 14-year-old in Minnesota, had to have his right testicle amputated after he was sack tapped in the hallway between classes. Dr. Steve Hodges of the Pediatric Urology at the Wake Forest University Baptist Medical Center, I've been there, he says, the testicles are not particularly hardy organs. It doesn't take much force to compress them and cause a rupture. Why are these boys doing this? Well, I can tell you why. You know, boys are boys, and we like hitting each other. But I don't know why we want to hit each other and call it a game called sack tapping. So adolescents are particularly prone to risky behaviors because their brains are not fully matured, and they're vulnerable to peer pressure and the desire to fit in. And another report this month showed teen brains are wired for more risk. So parents, sit down with your boy and go, please be careful with these. Now, ladies, I want to help you too. I've already helped you with your lung cancer and with your salad dressing. Well, actually, man, I'm going to help you here. I'm going to help you here. Because I know you've denied it. You blamed it on the guy next to you. You've even blamed it on grandma or the... But most of the time, it smells bad and it sounds funny. So let's dissipate the notion that flatulence is bad because everybody passes gas. People are simply made that way. But let's look at some health risks that are associated with excessive flatulence. So if you have a lot, we need to figure out what's going on in your gastrointestinal tract. So you look at the human body like a factory, and the gastrointestinal tract works like a unit. So once food reaches the stomach, the nutrients are broken down into smaller components, the amino acids, the fatty acids, the glucose, the sugars, everything else before going into the small intestine. Now, the food that doesn't get absorbed into the intestinal wall cannot enter the bloodstream. Indigestible foods and liquids, such as some soybean oils, I don't know, it's weird when it all ties together, isn't it? Are sitting down the tract when they reach the large colon as waste for liquid reabsorption. So it is there in the large intestine that gases are formed. Now, different bacteria in the bowel have a symbiotic relationship with the body. They actually, in most cases, do more good than harm because there's a variety of digestive enzymes that feed off the unabsorbed nutrients. In the case of flatulence, foreign enzymes known as gas enzymes consume undigested nutrients by breaking their chemical bonds. This process produces gases, and the end result is the dog getting blamed for everything. Ha ha! No. The enzymes burn the food on a molecular level, So the flatulents are like exhaust fumes. Like all efficient factories, once an agent has been broken down, it has to be moved away. So why it smells is because it contains odorless gases such as nitrogen, carbon dioxide, oxygen, and methane, and the oh-so-nasty hydrogen sulfide, which causes the smell. If you've not noticed, some of the fumes are flammable because methane and oxygen does burn. And yes, you can set them aflame. We're not trying to make this into a joke, people. This is a serious condition. Anyway, how much odor depends on the food you eat. Vegetarians might produce as much flatulent as often as meat eaters, but their serenades do not smell as much because vegetables produce less hydrogen sulfide. The more sulfur-rich foods you eat, the more your flatulence will stink because the bacteria will generate sulfides and mercaptans as they break down the nutrients. So even though cauliflower is a vegetable, it can also make you stinky. So, some people pass gas more than others. Rule to note here is Grandpa's finger is not special. His condition could be a result of a few factors. Now, let's go into the five possible causes of excessive flatulence. Consuming too many carbohydrates because that sugar and starch easily ferment. Indigestible foods. Many daily foods are considered indigestible. Excessive enzymes. Each person's intestinal fauna is composed differently, so people do not react similarly to the same foods. Two individuals can eat a meal rich in indigestible carbs, and only one of them developed gas because one of them intestinal tract contains more enzymes. You might have heard people say onions or apples give them gas, while others claim to not be affected. It depends on the amount and type of bacteria in the large intestine. So, get your enzymes, people. Chewing your food and swallowing your air. Chewing your food properly alleviates your digestive tract's workload. Sometimes you burp, but the air sometimes goes down deep in the digestive tract, leaving only one alternative. And then finally, intestinal infections. If you have super excessive flatulence, eating contaminated food or drinking contaminated water will cause loose stools, bloating, cramps, and gas. And an intestinal infection, the lining of the intestinal tract will thin, and nutrients again will be sent to the large intestine without being absorbed. I'm just trying to help you out. So cut your carbs. Don't consume indigestible foods such as that, I don't know, DuPont gets USDA approval for new soybean. Eat your enzymes, go out and get some probiotics, chew your food properly, and don't swallow so much air. So enjoy your food and enjoy your meal, and please don't get any infections. All right, ladies, you've learned your boy it can be injured at school by a new game. Men, you know how not to blame it on the dog. And everyone, stop eating soybean anything right now. It's very important. Fix the Family, Fix America. Thanks you for being here. I want you to be here same time next week. Go to naturalsuccessprinciples.com/launch today to help premature children and cancer fighters. I need you also to look around your family today, say I love you, and give them a big kiss. Thank you very much. Have a great one.